All right, everyone, welcome back to podcast number 16. This is the third part three of Magic Palette follow up with Pepe from Sandrush. And today we're going to be going over a recap of Magic Palette. And then there's some follow up questions where we explore the sip process, a little bit of the Magic Palette development, and then we can close out our follow-up with Pepe before it hits beta and everyone can start accessing it when it becomes available. So,
awesome. Great. Thanks for having me, Lance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sip update and scope of the talk. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a set of recap. Disclaimers, we don't represent the Sandbox game or the Sandbox Foundation, not your financial or legal advisors. Okay, so the scoreboard got updated a little bit. So there were two SIPs that closed. Both of them did not pass because they didn't reach quorum. That was SIP 9 and 10. And two just opened up, SIPs 11 and 12, Academy, the Sandbox Academy, and the Ambassador Program. And then the one that's now in draft is the NFT Evolution, which is crafting NFT drops. I just finished reading that one, and I noticed, Pepe, that you had responded to it. I don't think I fully understand what it is, something about a recipe, and then if it drops in the game, then it also appears on your claim page. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fully sure how it should or could be implemented directly into the game, but it would be amazing to have crafting up and running because I mean, this is the focus that I had when I did read it. Sorry for the noises.
That's okay.
Little ones are with me. I'm really eager to see this coming to life because it would allow so much new opportunities for creating games. I'm fully supporting this one.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I pretty much didn't have any questions after I read it, except one little small one, but it seemed pretty straightforward to me. And while I don't fully understand it, it seems like an obvious good one. Yeah. And so that brings us to 7 approved, 3 not approved. That means the checkbook did not change. So we're still sitting at 1.9 million sand that's been approved to spend, which is 13% of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I did add this one since we last talked, which is the DAO base. And so there are 211,000 token holders within the Sandbox DAO. 1,800 of them are voting wallets. So that's some interesting stats to add from DAObase.ai.
Cool.
And introductions, I'm the podcast host, and Pepe, one more time.
Yeah, I'm already native here.
I know, you might as well. All right, let's get to the recap.
No, that's great. Thanks a lot for having me through these episodes. And back then, even when we had our SIP up and running for voting, so super, super glad and grateful for your engagement and working here.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer, and I think just the idea of us doing this together, where I would do it from scratch. I think the only thing left I didn't do was get an export of it so that I could then import it to one of my games. So, yep, you had the likely kid duties there for a second. And
1 second.
Back yeah, no problem. Second. No problem.
Alrighty. Yes. Sorry for
the
short break. Cool.
Okay. Just in case.
Yeah, but
just in case.
So I can hide behind my avatar.
That's right. All right. So let's go over the recap. This is our third episode. So part one was we created a voxel mini map, which is basically like a small version of what we would create in part two. So part one relied on us finding a concept art image. We found one pretty easy on Pinterest, and then took it to Magic of Voxel. You could also use Vox Edit, or you could use Game Maker. But at this point, why would you? If you have Vox Edit and you can very easily create blockout, that blockout was a smaller dimension than the normal blockout version. And so he scaled it down to 48x48x60, and so that was to create a low resolution that he could then scale up into the 1x1, which is your 96x96x128, or if you're doing a 2x2, 192x192. So that was to create the mini map, and then we scaled it up to create the 2x2 resolution. Then part two was we imported that into magicpalette.io, where right now you can sign up to showing the pre-registration here for the beta, and that's where you started what Pippa said was to assign blocks. So there would be like one hex color, like 00FF00. You could replace a sandbox block with a hex color with a sandbox block. So that's where we had like the wavy water. It's where we had the neon blue from the normal sandbox colors. And now part three, we're going to debrief on all of that and then talk about the SIP process. Oh, I just went through part one without showing the... Whoops. Anyways, this was the blockout that we did in the minimap.
Right.
The minimap here is over to the left, you can see. And then Pepe, would you like to explain all this, or do you
want me to just... Of course, yeah. I mean, we can go over it just in a super fast forward mode. We started small, because starting small, when designing your levels or having an idea, it's really helpful to have not a huge canvas. It's the same if you paint, you know, or if you create anything, a sculpture or whatever. It's super helpful to make mock-ups, small scale models. I'm actually coming from architecture by myself. So this is something that we do regularly. You create a small scale model for the whole project first to find out how it will look and will work in the current cityscape or environment. So this is something that a lot of creation processes have in common. So you start small and from there you evolve. So we started with a small section, kind of. And as you said, Lancer, we blocked it out really roughly and quickly to find the dimensions, the distances in between land mass and water mass, for example, in our case here, because we did build this little bay area. And then from there, when I want to add more details, or for example, in our case, we used shaders of Magic of Voxel that were quite a powerful help when doing gradients in your blocks or in your builds and all that, I would scale up. because scaling up gives me more canvas, gives me more more space to work from, work with. And you see it here in the screenshot. This is kind of the landmass, and on the right side we have the water. As I said, where we afterwards were able to dive through. And from there, I add details, maybe even going back to the small model again and refining and then scaling up again. But this is basically the process. It's ongoing back and forth, you know.
And what I learned that I didn't know was that you, in order to create the water there on the right, you did something called a shader, which was basically like a autofill of of the empty space.
Yeah.
That is when he took that blue shader, which was the water, he moved it to the right, and that's what you're seeing, the separation of the shader from blocks that he originally created. And then, as you can see a little bit down here, it's darker and it starts to get lighter. He did a gradient, and that created different color hexes in some sort of progressive fashion from darker to light. And that gave us a lot more customization when it went over to Magic Palette, where you could then assign block colors. So if it was all the same hex color, first of all, it would be pretty bright, probably. And then second would be, if you changed one, you changed every single hex color, every single block.
Voxel, yeah.
Right, every voxel. So that created a bit of more customization that we could make inside, which was part two. So part one, the steps that we laid out, that I went through, was start first with the concept, which was pre-production. Then we built the mini map. Then we finished the block out. Then we import into Magic Palette. And then part two. Go ahead, Pepe.
Yes, from there, we already did drop our voxel model into Magic Palette. This is straightforward, and we just today have updated our voxel loader once again and have made it more powerful so it can load larger and more dense maps, even on our web-based application. We have some limitations, but as you see here, the model, it came out quite quirky, but it is there. So all what we did in voxels is now transformed into blocks. Magic Palette does this automatically, and you see here it takes the palette that you see on the right sidebar. It takes these colors from the voxels and chooses the nearest color that we have assigned in our block database. And therefore, it will auto-assign kind of these blocks. The city wall that we did here looks quite noisy, but we fixed this afterwards, because each block or each color can be assigned with a block now. This is what we did afterwards, yeah. Yes, you see it here. That's exactly what we did. We selected the blocks here, the sandstone that we wanted to have, the gradient that we did with this shader. This becomes now sandstone, and we assigned different gradients of sandstone to this. And also the city wall looks now more consistent. And yeah, after that, when we are happy with our block assignment and our style and design choices, we can load at any time. We can load our map now into GameMaker and start exploring our level design.
Where is that? I think it's here. Oh, or is it that you're trying to run through it?
Yeah, good.
There it is. Yeah.
That was still Magic Palette. Yeah, here we are in Game Maker. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then that's right. You put in a few assets. That was when you put...
Yes, I mean, that's the afterwards wall. The next step, yeah. All block-based. It's all block-based. But as shown here, soon after, you can start press your experience with assets, adding game mechanics, adding effects, changing the light settings and all that. And this is what we do here to find out how the look and feel of your level is, because it's important that you test your game or your level design as soon as possible. And this is exactly what Magic Palette allows you to do. So going as fast as possible with a full fleshed out level design into Game Maker, and as you see here, be playable even at this early stage already, and test the player's journey, test the paths that you want to lay out, find out what you need to move, shift around, because this is also a huge strength of Magic Palette, or working with these mini maps as we described in phase one. It can be iterated so fast, and changes can be made super easy. So you can copy things, you can move full. For example, if I don't like the city wall dimensions, I just would shrink it with a few clicks and have everything still up and running, kind of. I just update my map, you know, and not needing to tear down the whole wall, build it up.
Like what you're doing right now.
Five meters. Yeah, of course, everything is editable and can be changed also in Game Maker. And also these changes that you do in Game Maker then can be loaded again back through Magic Palette into even back to your voxel model. You know.
Right on. And at the end there, you chose a preset, which you then loaded in Game Maker. I mean, and it took no time at all to get that thing up and running. So this will be available upon launch as well.
Yeah, our procedural generated levels. We only start with one generator for beta, but we have a few quite exciting ones in the work right now. This is something that appeals mostly to people that even don't want or don't be the creators itself, or being not working with voxels or blocks or Game Maker and all the tools that DSP provides. It gives you really just out of the box with a few clicks in Magic Palette, the opportunity to push your very own design and level design to your lens without much effort. And this, in our opinion, this should, yeah, we really hope and we also think and hardly believe this will accelerate a kind of the creation process even further, especially for people that just want to play something, just have something on their map, you know. Not everybody is an artist, and not everybody has a budget to hire a studio like us or like yours. So this is really something that should appeal to all the landowners and even maybe people that don't own land, because you also can play, of course, on Game Maker client. Here you see an example. This is our dungeon generator that we have up and running right now.
Yeah, and then you very easily change some of the blocks up there in the top right, the like a theme of blocks.
Yeah.
And instead of it being lava and obsidian, then you right after that changed it to like water and stuff.
Exactly.
Right there. Cool. All right. And then, so what that turned into was step five, and step four from part one was import. The step five was you start assigning the blocks in Magic Palette, and Pepe, you said there are 1,500 blocks to choose from. And step six is download the file and import to Game Maker, as we saw. Step seven, import to Game Maker, and begin creating logic and spawn locations. And then, Pepe, you said also make sure to change the ambiance. So that was the time of day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a recommendation that I really would do early in the creation process, because the light of Game Maker, the light settings affect how your blocks will look, and especially the colors will look.
Then step eight, place your assets, what you wanted, and finish your game making. You can publish it after that. So that brings us through our recap. It was a pretty easy thing to get through. I wasn't sure what I expected. that was easy. The only thing that I'd have to learn is how to do a block out at that point. And then, yeah, my amateur skills at logic-based stuff, messages, which is still very, very bad right now. But at the very least, this will cut down big time on the block placing portion that we have to do now during Game Maker. That was exciting. Epe, that was very exciting.
Cool. Awesome. Great.
So there's some questions that even just outside of it itself, things that I wanted to touch base with Pepe, but wait till the end to touch it because we wanted to demo first. So let's go with, can you walk me through, actually, let's start with a development question first, since we're about to come for that.
Mm-hmm.
How has development gone? Has it gone just totally according to plan? Have you hit some rocky bumps? How's it gone?
Yeah, sure. We daily push our app closer to beta, and we expect to have the beta live in the next 2 months already, if everything goes well. So things going well. It is sometimes a bit tricky to figure out what exactly has priority, of course, because we have so many things that we would love to implement, but only limited time and resources to make it happen. So we need to prioritize our features and our roadmap, or kind of stagger our roadmap in the most useful way for the end user, because we really built this for all creators and landowners out there to work with it the best we can deliver as a web app. It is going well. We have unlocked phase one that we described in our SIP. This is already passed early this month, yeah. And now we are kind of crunching through phase two and are on schedule for this one as well, yeah. One focus that I'm doing right now, or my focus right now, is I'm not a developer. We have other people that work on the technical side. But I'm heavily involved in doing the documentation or the knowledge base that we also want to provide. This comes in written form, but also I started to record kind of small tutorials or what we just did here in these last two episodes, would be perfect to show someone how to get started with this new workflow that Magic Palette allows you. And all these things are super important to us as well, because we think a tool can only be as good as everybody can work with or know how to manage to work with. And this is a huge focus right now on my side.
And do you fully expect to implement everything in the SIP that you've detailed that you would?
At this point, yes. I mean, phase three is kind of where it gets exciting, because this is where we will
release
beta. Yep.
Phase two being beta, the internal testing by Sandbox team.
Yep, this is already happening, and we have very amazing feedback from the production art and level design team from TSB. These users are so, I can say they're so happy that they can work with Magic Palette now for internal production, because they did already what we always kind of projected into our workflow here. They made always these mini maps for their production and for the clients and for the brands to show them how things, and also for internal discussion and all that, to show them how things will work, how things will look, even just as a mock-up. And from there they would build in Game Maker. But now they really can grab their mockups and just have a huge head start in Game Maker already.
Okay. And how long will the beta release last for before you move to phase four?
This is what you have under part three. What's the most challenging part? And the most challenging part for us right now is finding or working with the Game Maker team on an API solution, or better said, a data exchange in between Game Maker and Magic Palette.
Most challenging part was working with the Game Maker team to find an API.
Kind of, yeah, get this up and running, because Game Maker development team is super busy, as you all can imagine. And
get it to where Magic Palette would talk to and correctly integrate with. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is super important for us and for everybody. We want to have this as frictionless as possible for the end user to happen, that you can save your map. This is already possible in beta. But for the full release, we want to have the link in between Game Maker and Magic Palette up and running as good as we can. This is challenging because
And what was challenging about it? Team. Was it like a technical challenge or just the working through it with the Game Maker team?
Yeah, even just get the hands on someone that is kind of working on this or can help us figure things out. Yeah. So okay. This is still
scheduling
in the works. Yeah, still in the works. And yeah, this is what we hope to make progress in the next few weeks as well. Other than that, it's going well. We,
And you said the beta should be coming by October?
That would be the plan, and right now it looks like we can make this happen. As said, beta will have all the functionality that we did see in our demos that we did here. What we don't have is, as said, the kind of the possibility to load your maps already. So you can start with your minimaps, you can assign blocks, you can start with all that we showed. You just not yet can test it in GameMaker.
Okay, got it.
This is for the full release planned, and we truly hope that there is a solution for this.
Okay.
Because this is something that we have solutions or ideas, and there is already a solution, but not for the public, sadly. And this is, therefore we kind of rely on GameMaker team to make this happen. And it's not only what we think, it's also how they want to approach this, of course.
Okay. And remind me, which feature is it that is not available to the public?
The loading into GameMaker, your experience into GameMaker, you know, which is quite crucial, of course, in the end.
Yeah.
Because you want to have it up and running in GameMaker.
So when we did it, it was that when you mentioned you were a power user, so you could do it?
Yeah. Trusted partners can already do it, yeah.
Oh, sick. But okay, so the current limitation.
We don't want only to allow this to trusted partners. We want to have everybody, each and everybody should be able to do this.
So you must be a power user to load your Magic Palette file into GameMaker?
Right.
Okay,
right,
so that's now the current limitation that you're looking to overcome.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So pretty exciting thing. So then you would want that to be done before beta, is what I assume.
No, beta is, as said, is with limited export functionality. You still can export your map again as Vox and tweak it and prepare it for your release on your side, or kind of working later on GameMaker files or kind of loading it into GameMakers. But for now, we export in beta only to Vox and to OBJ, yeah.
Oh, which so you won't, not, with beta, you won't be able to upload
to
it to GameMaker.
To GameMaker, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, of course, if we can make it happen, we will make it happen. But as said, it's not only on us. There is third party involved, and in this case.
So not expected during beta. CSP. So they'll get the hands-on of Magic Palette itself, working from the concept block out to Magic Palette, and that's where it will end until the limitation is overcome. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. So let's get into the most challenging part, I think. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was part that we already covered kind of here. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything that was much easier than you expected it would be?
Well, some features we had only a vague idea how we want to approach them. And our lead developer sometimes surprises us overnight or whatever. And just next morning you read something. Oh, yeah, it's working now. And these progresses are super cool. And you're super excited when you see things coming to life. And actually you can already test it in Magic Palette and work with them. For example, working with Minecraft maps. It was something that I had a workaround through other softwares and all that. But actually, the implementation took us not that long in the end to make it happen inside of Magic Palette. And it's a feature that we even didn't mention in the SIP. It's still a huge one in our opinion. But we have our roadmap, and the SIP reflects this quite well, but there are so many more features already in that are not mentioned there. We keep track of this, of course. We have a log and release notes and all that. So if you are interested in following us along, please join our Discord, Sandrush Discord. And super excited to cool. bring more utility and more features to
very cool
Magic
Band. And on that one, now let's get into the actual SIP process itself. Right sure. after the SIP was approved, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through all that.
Yeah, sure. So basically, as some of you might know or remember, we had huge support from TSB, from the whole community.
99% yes.
Yes.
99.36% yes.
So that was quite kind of encouraging for me and my team to see that we are working on something that is desired and can make a difference. The tricky part was the quorum, and we see it with other SIPs right now.
Hitting past the quorum. 3 SIPs fail because of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, sadly, yeah. And I have to say, I'm not sure what's the plans. To reach our quorum, we did quite a huge effort in these 2 weeks. And we even had the chance to have AMAs with Sebastian. We reached out to many, many landowners that we could find. It was not easy. Reached out to projects that we knew that were involved to some sort in TSB and all that. And really find these people that, I mean, it's not only that all the brands that you see on the map. Sometimes it's hard to reach out to them anyway, because they are large brands. Not that you couldn't, but it would take too much time to find a responsible person that in the end holds the ledger to sign the vote, probably even if they would vote. So we had to overcome quite a bit of this challenging phase of finding actual voters. And we're super grateful and glad that we made it. So we now can proceed with development and deliver what we have in mind and what we think makes a difference for all the builders out there.
And when it was past July 10th, what happened? Did you immediately start development, or was there like a build-up phase of some kind?
No, not at all. I mean, we actually invested quite heavily our own resources and time already into bringing it to a state where we can be confident about what we do, what Magic Palette can do, so that we don't overpromise or kind of promise something that in the end will not be realistic. So we had a lot of time in beforehand where we did fully focus on Magic Palette already after a large production. And I think this helped us a lot to not only flesh out the app itself, but also this vision and to find also kind of the audience that we hope will work with Magic Palette. This was a fluid process. So it's not like the SIP came and then we start development. We started long beforehand already. It evolved over time from a small little helper tool that we used internally for production and evolved to a full-fledged Web3 web-based tool that it is right now.
Mark asked what's your Discord server? I'm gonna pull it up and I'll put it in chat for him.
Cool, thanks a lot.
So walk me through, so you started development immediately. What was the administration like with the DAO? How did that interaction unfold after the SIP passed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, we were confirmed, and that our team was always super friendly and kind of supportive when it also during the voting phase and beforehand with the ideation. And I mean, we submitted our SIP. It was one of the first SIPs that were submitted. So they were glad that it was all nice and tidy and things were in place. And we have this structure of the template that we followed along. So I think this helped a lot to kind of level out everything and say, okay, this is solid. This can be presented. Then the voting phase came, and a bit of this stressful time with finding the quorum. But after confirmation, we kind of had this clear, we still have this clear roadmap where we did bind our payouts to these phases. In our case, with our project, and I think it's more than fair to. We also could ask for just upfront or whatever. But I think it's more than fair that we deliver in these phases what we promised, and even more, as we can see right now, and kind of fulfill the SIP in a way as it is intended, because we don't want just ask for money and then do something at some time maybe, and it was of course a bit hard. This is why there are no hard deadlines here. We just staggered it into phases, but our goal is to, as you just said, beta super soonish already, and public release as soon as we have clarified the interoperability with GameMaker.
This is, and so right now you've unlocked phase two. You're now on phase three.
No, we are on phase two. We are unlocking phase two.
So you unlocked phase one.
Phase one is unlocked. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is with you asked about the DAO team. We are in close contact with them, and we are super grateful about their support. And of course, they want confirmation on the delivery deliverables that we mentioned here in the SIP, and that's more than fair. So we have now someone from TSB internal that kind of cross-check that is also in this testing group that kind of cross-checks what Magic Pellet can do, and these features that are mentioned here, they are truly tested by him and his team to kind of confirm if this is delivered. And once it's delivered, as it was in phase one now, early this month, the payment then get unlocked through the DAO team or the DAO treasury.
So it's kind of like a three-way thing going on here where you had the TSB development member who's helping to confirm that what your SIP said it would deliver, it did.
Yeah.
And the DAO team is unlocking the payment after that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's pretty straightforward in the end, but we have this kind of third party kind of advisor, or not advisor, it's kind of observer. That kind of looks for them. They're not that deep into technical things and design things, so it's more than, we're super happy that this setup came in place now, and everything can be kind of cross-checked also from their side. Yeah,
got it.
I imagine this is not needed for every SIP. It's just in our case with these quite technical, with these features and all the things that we develop, so that they really work as intended and all that. It makes sense that we have someone like this in place. Yeah.
Cool. So that does sound pretty straightforward. I don't know what I was expecting, but that, yeah, that was pretty straightforward. You do what you said you would do, and then there is someone who will check it, whether or not be a DAO person, if they had the technical skills, but because they don't, they would look at the TSB team to do that technical evaluation. Okay. All right. That's pretty sensible. Okay. And then is there anything you wish you had known at the start of all this that would have better prepared you? I assume you're going to say Quorum, but let's ask anyways. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good question, actually. I mean, we were a bit out in the open with, we decided, as mentioned before, we decided to invest our own funds into this already, into the development and development of Magic Pallet beforehand. Before there was spoken funding or even confirmed funding through the DAO. So we didn't know how things will go, actually. We heavily kind of trusted the community and the voters that they want to want this tool come to life. If they wouldn't confirm it, I'm not sure if we still would be up and running, actually, because we had this really heavy focus and still have on pushing Magic Pallet, because we think this is our strength and this is what we should do to bring value to the community. So we even rejected clients' work, because we thought, okay, let's do this because we want to make this happen, you know. And this was kind of a risk taking in before the SIP came, the whole SIP process came in.
This was before the SIP even went to vote. You were rejecting work to continue prototyping?
Yeah, and especially kind of also working on our own project and games and experiences. We did withdraw resources from this part of the studio and focus much more, for example, on block creation, because we know each block is valuable for Magic Pallet and all that things. You know, these kind of decisions. And having our developer full time on.
It comes down to, if you had something that you wish you had known, was the amount of sacrifice you would have had to make even before the SIP went to vote, the time investment, the money investment, and then the potential risk for turning down work that you could have been earning money that way.
Yes, kind of. I mean, it's not that dramatic, but in the end, we kind of did put our full forces on Magic Pallet, and I think it was the correct decision. Still think it is at this point.
It looks like it's working out just fine. The uncertainty. The uncertainty before it even went to vote of, you weren't sure if that was going to work.
Or even get any funding through DAO. I mean, we were in close contact over the years now already, where we involved in the sandbox with the team, with Sebastian itself, with other people from, for example, with Thibault, the art director now that is leading his team. And it's we're super grateful for all their support, and also seeing kind of the potential of what we are doing. We not only did Magic Pallet in the past, of course, we also did, for example, large projects for CyberKongs, or we did other Web3 apps, like our Gear Up app, where you can equip your avatar also web-based. Mm-hmm. Don't need GameMaker for this. And all these type of things, we always heavily focused on building on top of the platform, you know, adding where TSB might not providing tools like what we do here. I think this is our strength, and we should, in my opinion, we should play this card the most where possible, because this is where we create value for everybody.
Okay. Well, Pepe, I think that pretty much gets us through it. Is there anything else that we didn't cover about the process you'd like to discuss?
No, thanks a lot for this deep dive, and also for having us working on this sample map that we did in the last two episodes. I'm super, super excited to even see this one evolving maybe over time now. And we, of course, have a lot of plans to not only provide blocks, but we also want to provide new generators, new maps. When it comes to blocks, we just in the process of going really collection-based, so you can load your custom blocks and all that. We have a lot of stuff in the works that are quite exciting. And yeah, the DAO was an opportunity. It was stressful, kind of at least this voting phase and the pre-discussion. But I think it's also crucial for the success of a project like this to share your vision with the actual builders and creators, because these will be the people that make this product work or valuable for the whole ecosystem, you know. And the process is still an up and down all the time. And there are bugs, crushing bugs daily internally here and with the help of TSP testing team, as I said. So, we certainly will keep you all in the loop through X, Twitter, and of course in our Discord and all that. So, and I try to be involved wherever I can, especially with other builders and studios that can make the most out of their projects with the help of Magic Palette, I think.
Cool. Very cool. Well, awesome. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. Next, we got it underneath an hour, Pepe, so I think that's a first for us.
That's a good achievement.
Today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. I would say we captured the essence here. And
a really good three-part series. I enjoyed walking through this with you, especially awesome. Seeing the hands-on of how you go from block out to block assignment. That was really mm-hmm. cool. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Pickaxe Master. I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yep. So I think you did an episode with him and Sandfam Cafe.
Yeah, back in the voting. Yeah, in the voting phase, that was Sandfam Cafe.
We'll be talking to him tomorrow and going over Sandfam Cafe, the DAO, some other things that are Pickaxe Master itself is its own experience. Spaces are still going on each week. The places to be is Discord, the DAO forums, and Twitter. There are two new votes up now. For consideration, which is the Ambassador Program and the Sandfam Academy. So Mark Bago was in the chat just talking now. His SIP has gone to vote. We did that with episode 12. So take a look at episode 12 where we interview Mark Bago from wanting to do Sandbox Academy in the Philippines, which is basically an onboarding program and educational program for a series of universities in the Philippines, which is where Mark lives. And he's been doing the Sandbox Academy for years for free. And now he's requested funds to pay for things like posters and the educational material, like the laptop and all the stuff that he needs to give I think it's 60 people, right, Mark? Was it 60 people that you're teaching across six universities and 6 months? So that is a significant time investment for him. And onboarding loads of new creators that can then use Magic Palette and create experiences for themselves and contribute to the community. So I'm...
We actually already have plans to make one of the lessons Magic Palette focused once it's up and there, up and running. Yeah. So super excited about that.
So you said 20 to 40 per university times six would be 240 people. And yeah, if there was a way, Pepe, I saw the conversations going back and forth. If there was a way to partner with them, that thing, that would just be doubly cool. But in any case, I've already voted yes.
We will.
He's got my full support, and please go vote. Yes, vote no, but please vote, because the last three didn't even make it because of quorum, and the yes vote won't even go through if we don't make quorum. So please go vote and make your voice heard. And there's the Sandbox Academy, not Sandbox Academy, the Sandbox Ambassador Program, which I am trying to get them on the docket for.
I did see,
Right. The cool. All My Friends people, which is just a collection of Sandbox folks. So I'm trying to get them on Sandow, but haven't been able to yet. So we'll see about that. And then there's Here's Your Spaces throughout the week. Mochaverse Hall, Bulls on the Block, Coffee with Captain, Whale Members, Sand Fam Cafe. Check them out. That's where we gather alongside the forums. And Pepe, is there anyone that you think I should raid on Twitch? I already looked. I don't see anyone else in the Sandbox category.
No, everybody offline right now.
Yeah, everyone looks offline because it's still very early morning and where we are. And for you, it's mid-afternoon, right?
Go West just came online.
Go West just came online?
Not online.
Oh, hey, Go West. Oh, I see him in the chat. Go West, if you fire up that stream, I will raid you.
But it's probably also early on his side. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll end it there. Pepe, thank you for your time. Really, really loved doing this with you, and I'm excited to use this myself, even though I'm a complete amateur at this stuff.
That will be exciting to see what the community will create to help a Magic Palette. Yep.
So my sips should be coming up pretty soon. So I'll be in the same boat as you are. Yeah. Don't know which one's going to hit first. I've got five of them. I think Sandow Podcast will hit first, but it could also be the window sizing one or the in-game filter or the revenue options, which is my big one other than Sandow Podcast. And so I'll be campaigning just like everyone else. Awesome. Thank you for your time, Pepe. Yeah. And
thanks, Lancer, for having us.
Guten Morgen, or is that morning? Whoops.
Yeah, it's afternoon already on my side. But good morning.
Good morning, and Dankeschön.
Cool.
Thanks everyone.
Cheers.